Welcome to Backmarker Podcast. My name is Brayden.
My name is Raj.
How you doing, Raj?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
This is episode 26?
26.
26. We are here to talk about the Brazilian Grand Prix.
We are.
F1 news.
Yes.
And whatever else we come across.
Yeah.
In the world of F1.
There's really not much going on, to be honest. So we'll just, don't worry, we'll crap on for a while
and we'll
enjoy it.
We'll pad. We'll fluff. We'll do the whole thing. You'll love it. Stay tuned. As we said last week, or the week before, the season is done in terms of championships.
Yes.
Both constructors and drivers. But yep. There are other things up for grabs, and the Brazilian Grand Prix, I don't think it disappointed. It was good.
It was okay. Like, it definitely had its moments. The fight for the lead was non-existent.
No, that was a bit. I mean, there was some chance of podium changes, but yeah, the number one spot was,
let's be honest, all the way done. In terms of the top four, it was pretty much, or top three, really. It was decided.
Yeah.
But watching Ricardo come charging through the pack was fun, as always, and watching Lewis carving it up was really good, too. Lewis was driver of the day and is my driver of the day. He was spectacular.
Yeah,
he drove incredibly well. He's still a wanker. again, we need to go into that every single episode.
Yeah, he started from the pit lane. He had a terrible qualifying session, crashing out
he
in Q1.
He did have an awful... Yeah, I have no idea what even happened there. I think the tires were out of temperature or something and they just didn't seem to grip and... But it was in the wall.
Mercedes were trying out some new parts on the car. Maybe they were, trying out reinforced side pods and he needed to use them.
Nah.
I don't know.
It's just
a mistake. It was a hands-down
mistake. And it is Pirelli being Pirelli. Mm. They're known to this year, if they get ever so slightly out of temperature, they'll just go, all right, we're not going to grip the track anymore. Not even slightly. Fuck you. And that's that.
Well, we'll spoil a little bit here. At the beginning of the race, Grosjean had an incident around
Magnussen. The same turn.
No, wasn't it? Oh, sorry, you're right.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Grosjean on Ocon. Was that Magnussen?
Okay, we're not talking about the same thing.
Yes,
no, we're
not.
On.
Grosjean had an issue taking Ocon out of the race in the first lap around the exact same point where Hamilton lost it.
Yeah.
He only had a little bit of oversteer, but it was enough that it, hit Ocon and also did a fair bit of damage to the Haas, but, took the Force India out of the race for the first time in Ocon 27 races in a row. He has finished it, and this is the one where he lost it, unfortunately. He finished up.
Consistency has failed. Once
I might cut that. No, I'll leave it in. That was a terrible wordplay. But I'll leave it in.
It's not even my joke.
I haven't heard it.
Stolen from Reddit. Thank you, Reddit.
Do you want to go through the rest of the predictions?
Well, I want to talk about what happened on the first lap to Ricardo.
Oh, okay, sure. That was another Haas related problem.
It was Magnussen, Van Dorn, and Ricardo, and they essentially went. They all went. We want the exact same piece of track at the exact same time. It did not end well. Basically,
Van Dorn got the sandwich, basically.
Yeah. Van Dorn got the sandwich between Magnussen and Ricardo, and Ricardo somehow managed to spin in front of pretty much six cars or so and not get touched by anyone.
Yeah, he got a little bit of knock around the wheel, spun out. It looked bad enough to me that I was like, oh, he's out. But he got back on the track and he finished the race. So.
Dude, have you seen the replay?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he did not get hit by anyone is a fucking miracle.
It's crazy. And it's crazy that Van Dorn's car only touched his wheel, considering it could have been a lot worse, the initial contact as well. So, well done, Ricardo, I guess. I don't know. He was a bit of a passenger, so.
Look, if he made that move stick, he would have had an absolutely fantastic day. But... Besides, and he still did have a good day. He charged through the field. His overtaking was sublime as per usual.
I think it was as good of a day as Renault engines could expect. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, let's get into that.
So before we get into our predictions and whatever everything else happened, we'll quickly say that Red Bull was down into the third of the constructors that were up there. Renault was way down. Toro Rosso was very upset for most of the weekend, and it all revolved around Renault essentially limiting the ability of their turbo due to some issues with reliability.
Yep.
Is Brazil a very high
altitude
as well? No, not as much as Mexico, because we saw in Mexico the Renault balance was way out to that altitude.
Sao Paulo is pretty much sea level, I'm pretty sure. Okay.
So they just decided that it wasn't going to suit their car.
Mm.
And they just said, look, we had problems in Mexico. We don't want to see our engines blow up.
Because of Mexico, they went, you know what? We need to just tune them down a little bit. We do not want them to explode anymore.
Sure. Which, which they didn't, for the most part. Mm. They were in Q1 and Q2 for Toro Rosso, which is why you saw a very angry Helmut Marko having some very heated discussions with anyone he could see wearing a yellow shirt.
Yeah.
That was... What's his name? Not Stroll. Stoll from... his name is Lawrence Stoll.
Okay.
He works for Renault.
Right.
He is essentially like the business manager of, their
relationship.
Is
it actually Lawrence Stoll?
Apparently.
Because, you know...
I know.
Okay.
Let me just check. It is Lawrence. Maybe I'm just getting it. Lawrence Stroll. And I think it's Lawrence Stoll.
I'm pretty sure Lance Stroll's dad's name is...
Lawrence. Yes, you're right. Lawrence. No, it's someone else Stoll.
Yeah, okay.
It's someone else Stoll. No, I've got them mixed up a little bit. But there is someone from Renault called Stoll.
That's ridiculous.
Jerome Stoll.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry, my mistake. But Jerome Stoll, he was basically the peacekeeper between all these discussions, if you want to call them that,
because
fisticuffs were about to go down.
Mm.
They were not happy. And look, understandably so. Business end of the season, and you're told, please turn your engine down.
Yeah.
Not great. And I'm sure more than anyone, Alonso is also looking at that with some
and then
thoughts.
That one thing that Cyril came out basically said that it's all Toro Rosso's fault. They're not installing the engine correctly. To which Franz Tost came out and said, I'm fucking sorry, what? We've been installing the engine exactly the same for the last year, so unless you've been just changing something overnight, we've been doing exactly what you've been telling us. It's not our fault.
Yeah, he was very upset.
Yeah, and absolutely, deservedly so. If I was Toro Rosso, I would have been seething. For my engine partner to come and say, oh, yeah, it's your fault. Is it coincidence that Toro Rosso and Renault are neck and neck in the Constructors' Championship? And is it coincidence that Toro Rosso is dropping Renault for next year? Just like, there's a few things that sound very, very, or smell very, very fishy to me.
Apparently, Renault were looking at options to say we don't have to supply Toro Rosso with any new engines due to the whole... public dressing down they received.
Yeah, actually, I have a story here, but it's actually part of this conversation. But essentially, it's going nuclear. Renault are considering withholding engines from Toro Rosso and making them sit out, not just for the rest of the weekend with no engines, but also for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
So they did go through with Brazil. They worked it out to get through.
They did get through Brazil.
But we may not have heard the end of it, I guess.
Yeah, we may not have heard the end of it. That being said, Helmut Marko did come out with a kind of statement saying that Red Bull and Renault are really great engine partners. We've been engine partners for so long, blah, 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 blah. We're sorry, basically.
Sure.
He's apologized. He must have said some serious stuff to Cyril because he was angry.
Yeah, you could see it in those... we didn't have the audio when we were watching it on TV, but you could see...
I wish I had the audio. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we could definitely see that there was some words being discussed. All I want to do right now is talk about our predictions because...
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to do it. They weren't good. Wow. I think I technically was better than you. Just. Pole position you gave to Verstappen. He was way down.
Mm-hmm.
Again, basically any prediction we have revolving around a Renault engine or a Red Bull is sort of out the window, unfortunately. But you said Verstappen. I said Vettel, and I was close, but it was stolen from underneath him.
It was.
So Bottas was on pole. For the podium, I said it would be Verstappen, Vettel, and Ricciardo. I was at least correct with Vettel being on the podium, even if it was in the wrong place. You said Ricciardo, Verstappen, Hamilton, and none of them even appeared.
No.
Hamilton was close towards the end of that race, but... Ricciardo and Hamilton starting at the back and in the pits, and then Verstappen just... He was not happy with the balance of that car for most of the race, and with the Renault engines, he was never going to be up there.
Yeah.
This is the part I'm pretty upset about. I said there'd be three safety cars.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw the weather, I realized that was wrong. You actually got this correct. You said one safety car, which there was right at the beginning.
There was.
I can't even read my writing here. The crack prediction. I said there'd be a red flag. Again, totally out of the question
wrong.
Due to the weather. You said both Williams in the points, which...
Massa was in the points.
Massa was in the points. Stroll was not.
No.
So halfway there. Wow, this is quite impressive, Raj. For our Massa retirement prediction, I said he'd crash.
Nope.
And he didn't. But you said he'd come eighth, and he actually came seventh.
Wah.
So, and he was so close, because that battle towards the end almost saw Alonso overtake him.
And it, in my head, I was thinking, there's no way he's going to get above eighth. Yeah. But he did.
And look, I think that was a fitting end. I mean, although nothing in my mind will top his first retirement for emotion, this one was a much... I'm sure he was happier with this one.
Yeah, there was some closure there, and
he's the best of the race.
He seemed
basically
really pumped at the end of the race. He was just screaming, "Vamos, vamos!" So, yeah, that was cool. It was cool hearing his son on the radio as well.
Yeah, that seemed very... I don't know. His son's not a great actor in my mind. It seemed very, you know, scripted. But
his son is five.
I guess so. There were words maybe in there that I don't know.
He's no Drew Barrymore at that age. What can I say?
No, he's not. I guess not. But look, it was nice. It was a nice moment.
It was nice.
I don't think it was as emotionally charged as last year. That's what I'm going to say. So for me, I'm just like, yeah, whatever, kid. You're not as good as, you know, him crashing out in the rain, walking in front of the fans. It's not as good. But I thought it was interesting. During the first lap, he basically said, I can't remember, was that the end of the race when you heard him on the team radio? No, it was a formation lap. It was definitely a formation lap. He basically said, thank you so much. I want to say thank you to my fans and my family and my team. It's been amazing for my last race in F1. That's what he said. Yes.
Did he?
He said last race in F1. So people online are reading into this like, oh my God, he's done. And we're going to see Kubica test in Abu Dhabi. Or it could mean that, you know, Massa was more along the lines of like my last home race in F1.
Yeah, the last time you will
didn't
see
specify.
Me race.
Yeah. He said for my last race in F1. He said it's so great that you're all here for my last race in F1. But it was unclear if it was like so great that my fans are here for my last Brazilian race.
Yeah.
Or if he knows something that the fans don't quite know and he happens to maybe accidentally let it slip a little bit.
Again, he does speak Porter English, so...
He speaks pretty good English, though. Like, there is a little bit, like, it is his second language, so maybe it got a little bit lost in translation.
Dramatically,
but
he does get a bit mixed up sometimes. So I don't know, maybe...
Are we reading into it too much? I don't know.
Maybe we are. That being said, there was a rumor out on the weekend that Robert Kubica has already been signed by Williams. It's a done deal.
I've heard at least that they're in very serious discussions.
Yep.
At very least, it looks like they're still chatting, and there's still a good chance.
Oh, no, they are still definitely still chatting. He has a test in Abu Dhabi at the end of the year, for sure. It's been announced.
Whether that test is a race, we'll see.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Whether it is a race, we'll see. And I'm... Honestly, I don't think Massa would be that displeased to go out in Brazil.
Yeah, there's a part of me. I think maybe in his mind it would have been better if he maybe could tell the fans that and tell everyone it was his last race.
Yeah.
Maybe that was his way of Machiavellian. Like, you know, he's in my last race in F1. Did I say that? I didn't mean to. It was an accident. Like, maybe it was all very planned. Or he's just been told, by the way, there's a very good chance that you might not be racing at Abu Dhabi, so we want to give you a really great send-off. So let's do well. And he just knows that. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, yeah, we will see. But look, Canal Plus came out and said...
Canal Plus, I've heard...
No, that's the thing. So they are a bit bullshit-like, but they did come out and say Robert Kubica has been signed by Williams, to which Williams said...
What the fuck are you talking
about? No, he's not. No, he's not. But...
I've seen other rumors that, you know, his management is coming to the race next week.
Mm.
His family is scheduled to be at Abu Dhabi the race weekend, not just the test.
Right.
As well as some of these Polish supporters, his backers, like financial backers.
Yeah.
They're all coming to the race. So some people were like, oh, they'd be in Abu Dhabi for the test. But it's like, yeah, but they got race. They're going to the race, apparently. So... Could it be, you know, someone from the booking department of some airline has gone, there's a lot of Kubicas on this airline today. Wait a minute. We don't know. But God, it'd be interesting.
It would be really, really interesting for sure.
Anyway, back to this race.
Yes.
I don't know what else stood out to me. It was, I guess nothing will stand out for Brazil when it comes to like a race that was average, just because there are so many amazing ones as last year was.
Mm.
Although this was a pretty good race, I think in terms of the season, it's definitely somewhere in the middle of, you know, interesting. There was a lot of good passing around turn one.
It was not boring.
No, it wasn't boring. I watched the whole thing without going, come on, something happened.
Yeah.
It was always at least a pass or two, and there was constantly battles.
Yeah.
Although it kind of separated the top half of the race and the bottom, there was still a lot of retirements and a lot of battles and a lot of stuff going on. So I don't know. It was good to see Hamilton not on the podium 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, that was nice.
Getting lazy since this championship.
That was nice, yeah.
This championship, four-time champion, hasn't been on the podium for 2 weeks. What the fuck's this about?
Yeah, terrible.
His slump is confirmed.
And every single time, every single qualifying since his fourth championship, he hasn't finished.
He's crashed out, in fact.
He's crashed out, yes.
Wow. These
awful.
Awful, awful stats brought to you by Mac McElboy.
Terrible F1 stats.
Yeah. What else have we got? I mean, we had a retirement from early in the race, a McLaren due to the crash. We had five retirements in all, or four? I'm putting Raj to sleep.
I'm sorry.
race wasn't that boring.
I don't actually know.
We saw a very quick retirement from Ocon, as we've already discussed. I think the only thing that really stood out to me was the McLaren performance of the one that was actually left on the track.
Yes.
Alonso, he did lack speed, but he was in the race the entire time.
Yep.
He did a couple of pretty good overtakes with DRS.
Yep.
20 miles an hour down in, you know, in straight line speed.
Yep.
You wouldn't have known it. Like, no. He showed he
finished in the points.
Mm.
So, was it eighth?
He finished eighth, which means that this year McLaren has officially scored more points in 2017 than they did in 2015.
That's fucked.
So, as bad as this season was, it actually wasn't their worst, even in recent history.
Yeah. But, I mean, 2015 was heinously bad.
It was really bad, but...
Hey, they've lived up to the minimum expectation. Well done.
Yeah.
But Alonso was seriously impressive
it was because he was enjoying it.
Yes, for sure it was.
He loved the battle he was between Perez and Massa for a long time.
Yep.
There was no, you know, Felipe, Fernando is faster than you this time. It was a proper battle. It was very, very good to see. So you could tell that when he's in a car that he likes, he wants to race.
Yeah.
So that was refreshing. Other than that, the Red Bulls were really quiet. The Mercedes, they struggle when they're not up the front, obviously.
Yeah.
And the Ferraris, it's just disappointing that this race really didn't mean that much to them.
Yeah.
Even though there were, you know, two on the podium.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Ferrari has thrown away their opportunities this season. They haven't... Like, they've had the car. They've had the drivers. They've just thrown away their opportunities, and that is the most disappointing thing about it.
Mm.
I think the Tifosi are still cheering, but they'll cheer for anything that's red. Bulls get angry about anything that's red. It's kind of a similar kind of reaction.
I think the podium was worth celebrating, the two on the podium, but it's that sense of a little bit too late, you know?
Yeah, too little, too late. 100%. Exactly.
Apparently, even Raikkonen said he was bored during that race. He wasn't really racing anyone. Only maybe Hamilton towards the end, but I think he knew Hamilton was not going to make it.
Yeah.
Despite his charge, he was going to run out of tyres soon enough.
Yeah.
So, it's unfortunate.
Look, Raikkonen is apparently gearing himself up for a 2018 title charge, by the way.
Says Raikkonen?
Mm.
Wow, that's a lot of words for Raikkonen.
Yeah.
Gearing himself up for title charge. That's a lot of syllables. More than you normally get out of him.
Honestly, he probably said something like 2018, good.
Yeah.
So,
well, 2018, we'll see.
Yeah, something like
that. And now we've read into it. Well, look, that would be nice. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, neither.
I don't even see a Ferrari, even if they somehow get Vettel up there and win the drivers, I still think Mercedes will take the constructors.
Yeah.
They've just got a more consistent pairing.
And they do have much better development in terms of their car.
Mm.
And yeah, I'd love to see Raikkonen challenge, but I think he's just past it.
I think he needs to win a race. That's probably my best expectation for him next year. Win one race.
Honestly, if he wins one race, he'll win 10.
Really?
That's the thing.
That's your theory.
If he gets his winning kind of spark back, I think you won't be able to stop him.
I think if he wins two, he might win 10, but I don't think he needs to win one. That's probably not. And it'll be from circumstances like, you know, he gets a great qualifying and something behind him happens and he gets a bit of space and he can just kind of win that race.
Yeah.
I don't think he can do that, you know, more than once. He almost had it in, say, Monaco. Like, he needs a race like that, and then that's probably what we can see. We can send him off on a season where he at least got a win. That's all we can really do.
That would be nice. I mean, yes, to win a championship, you need to beat Vettel first. You need to beat your teammate.
Then Hamilton.
And then Hamilton. And then everybody
else
on the
group. And
maybe
Verstappen and hopefully Ricciardo and a couple other guys that we see potentially up there. So it's a big ask.
Dude, if you want to win a championship, you've got to beat everyone.
Mm.
So that's the thing. I don't even know if he can beat his teammate, let alone the rest of the field.
We'll see what that car does, I guess.
We'll see what the car does. We'll see what he does. We'll see if he can pull his finger out. And
I don't think it's. I think he's a legend in his own right. I just think they've
kept him. In a way, yeah, but he needs some fire. If he wants to win a championship from here, you need some fire, son.
I guess I get the sense from Raikkonen that he doesn't even really care to be in that seat next year, and he's doing it for contractual obligations.
Yeah, which is why I'm surprised when he came out saying, I'm going for the title. I'm like, you actually give a shit? Wow, okay, wow.
We'll see. I don't think he does this year, put it that way. Especially if he makes a statement like, I was bored during this race.
Yeah.
You got a podium and you were bored.
Well, shit, Verstappen won in where was it?
Mexico,
and he was bored.
Yeah, that's so true, bored up the front. Exactly. But I think it's a different kind of bored. Like, Verstappen says it like, oh, I was so bored, I was having so much fun up the front, but then I got bored because no one was racing me.
I think Raikkonen was
actually like, I was bored because I'm sick of this shit.
Like, yeah, maybe.
Maybe it felt like that, I don't know.
Maybe, I'm not sure. I don't even know if he was ever a passionate driver.
Raikkonen.
And if he was, whether he is anymore, I don't really know.
You know, there is that, like, you see sportsmen in a couple of sports around the world that are kind of like, I don't know, this is all I've known. I do it. It's like, maybe, you know, there are people out there who are like, you know, rugby players or soccer players that, you know, they'll go to their training and they'll be talking to their teammates about, oh, did you watch that game from other teams just because they love the sport? And there'll be others that are like, I don't know, this is my day job.
It's my job, exactly.
Then I go home and I do anything but this shit.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. You're a, you know, an elite sportsman. Maybe that is, you know, Raikkonen. It's like, I was told I was a good driver and they put me in a development program and now I race in a Ferrari and I kind of want to go home.
Dude, I actually, one time I go-karted with Dick Johnson, Steve Johnson and James Courtney out at Eastern Creek.
Right, okay.
And I was having a chat with James Courtney and he was a nice enough guy but seemed remarkably disinterested in motorsport.
Really?
Like, yeah, when I was talking, he's like, trying to talk to him about racing, and he's like, man, I don't care. This is my job. Like, I do not give a shit about racing. He does not care.
That's, racing seems like that something that needs to be in your blood a little bit. Yeah, but maybe, I don't know, maybe he was sick of fans at the go-karting place asking him questions.
Maybe
I don't know.
He didn't want to go-karting with dipshits. Yes, yeah, maybe. It's quite possible, but
it wouldn't put me past
it. He didn't seem... It doesn't seem like he's passionate at the track anyway. It doesn't seem... He just doesn't seem passionate about the job. And at the end of the day, he might be really, really good at it, but not like it. And that's true. Like, Andre Agassi hated his fucking life, was one of the greatest tennis players of all time.
Mm.
And they happen simultaneously. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe motor oil doesn't need to be in your blood.
No, it doesn't need to be in your blood. I would have thought it would have to, but apparently it doesn't.
Because I remember 2007, Raikkonen, you know, winning the championship. And look, you don't expect much, you know, excitement from him.
Mm.
But it was
He
smiled, but it was still one of the dullest, like, team radio celebrations. He's like, Raikkonen, you've won the championship. He's like, oh, whoa, jeez, so good. He's like, that's all you get. And, you know, I realize maybe he's very introverted or whatever. And you did get a smile when he was on the podium and, you know, with the champagne, he knew he won. So that's the closest thing to a human moment ever.
Yeah.
But every other moment that I can think of that I really love him for was kind of off the track. You know, like his jokes with commentators and stuff. They weren't necessarily like, oh, here's a funny joke about this car I'm driving. Or here's, you know, how good is my, you know, balance on this. He just never talks about it.
Yeah. And he's not, I don't, you know, I think Daniel Ricciardo is a genuinely funny dude. Like, I think if...
Oh, sure.
You know, me and him had a beer together, we would get along absolutely raucously. But me and Raikkonen, on the other hand, I don't think he's funny.
Yeah.
I find him funny.
Sure.
And they're two very, very different things.
I think Ricciardo could come up with at least 20 minutes of stand-up.
Yeah.
Raikkonen would come up with 2 seconds of the worst stand-up possible. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? It would be awful.
Anyway, we clearly don't have that much more to say about Brazil because we've gone well off topic.
Well off topic.
I did warn in the intro, like, we will fluff a little bit, but that's fine. We're getting to the business end of the season.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into news then?
Or
do you have anything else to add about Brazil?
No, not really.
All right, let's give us some news noises. Raj, can I have the first story?
Sure, you can have the first story.
All right, I'm going to quickly... There's a few mini bits of this story, but essentially, Brazil's a fucking dangerous place.
Yeah.
Evidently, it is a dangerous place. I guess I'll touch on the most, the newest part of this story, which is that McLaren have released this statement via Twitter. We have jointly decided with Pirelli to cancel this week's tyre test at Interlagos. The safety of our people has always been our top priority, and given the recent events, we felt that it is unnecessary to proceed with this risk.
Now, in case you're wondering what they're talking about, they don't want to get shot.
Yeah, shot, stabbed, kidnapped, robbed, anything. McLaren's engineers, was it? Or Mercedes engineers?
Mercedes, FIA, Williams, like...
Yeah, they were all harassed. The first one that came out was the Mercedes team walking to their hotel or something after free practice two were robbed or, you know, mugged sort of thing.
Yeah, no, they were just mugged at gunpoint.
Yeah, so no one was injured, but they got some, you know, watches and whatever stolen, shit like that. You also saw Pirelli staff at some point were harassed. Yep. They've come out and said that. Williams. So
honestly, like, pretty much most of the F1 field was harassed in some way by armed terrorists in the middle of the favela.
It's crazy. If you didn't see any of the shots during the race weekend, like, there are pan over shots from the helicopter which show, you know, the slums literally next door to Interlagos' racetrack. Brazil has a pretty big problem with massive wealth disparity.
Yes.
You've got very, very poor areas, literally right next to other very, very rich areas. And, you know, a lot of commentators have basically said, you know, around the world this happens. It's particularly prominent in Brazil. But the difference is your suburbs are literally so close to each other that there's not necessarily, like, areas you can or should avoid.
Yeah.
It's literally a dangerous place in most areas. You have the potential of being in danger anyway. And it's sad because Brazil has a strong history with F1, but there is even early talk that this kind of thing could affect holding races in places like Brazil.
Yeah.
Scary, scary stuff. The mayor of Brazil came with this pretty average sort of statement today. So, of course, this is disappointing. You know, Brazil is always, we've always worked to be very safe. And this, it was very just non-committal. Essentially, his job is not the police. That is the governor of the district, apparently, manages the military police.
Right.
But allegedly, by 5 p.m. on race day, all the police had left the track already.
Yep. Why? So, because they're fucking criminals. The police are equal to criminals in Brazil. For all intents and purposes, the criminals are the police.
I'm not going
to
throw any wild accusations, but they're basically like, we're not getting paid to be here past five. Fuck it, we'll leave. So no one is organizing this kind of safety.
Bullshit. They are getting paid not to be there after five.
Sure, okay. Like, I don't know that side of things.
Fine. But you don't have to accuse people.
I don't know that. But,
it's fucking obvious. It's the same in Malaysia. It's the same in India. It's the same in all these kind of developing countries. The police don't give a shit. And I think it was brought into the spotlight really, really, like, ferociously this weekend in a way, because almost every single team had an issue with someone trying to rob them or having issues with having a gun pointed at their head.
Yeah, and while they're still packing up after the race, they look around and it's like, there are no police here anymore.
Nope.
We should pack the fuck up quickly because this is not good.
Yeah.
It's scary. Even Felipe Massa said something along the lines that was a little critical, like, you know, that a little critical of the mayor and, you know, the Brazil's sort of response. And, you know, he kind of, I understand, you know, it's a developing country. There are issues.
Yeah.
And he knows that. He's from there. But he basically said, like, we need to do better as a country to improve these kind of situations and stop them from occurring in the future, because events like F1 or tourism in general are just going to suffer.
For sure.
It's, look, for as much money as Formula One costs, it brings in money as well. So, and that's something that developing countries, you know, maybe not need, but it certainly can help.
Wait, when are the Olympics in Rio?
They already were.
Oh.
And that, same thing, there was a lot of issues with security.
Yeah, that's right.
And other issues, you know, like buildings not finished, but that happens with every Olympics. Olympics are just, look, if you're going to take my advice, countries, don't fucking host the Olympics. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, shit, Australia did it pretty well.
We got away, we still use the Olympic Stadium in Sydney for a lot. But there are countries around the world that just like, oh, the Olympics were on. Yeah, that's the charred remains of that building that hockey was at a couple of years ago. There's whole photo albums online you can see of just like around the world venues that
just get never used again. Old Athens.
Yep.
The old
Even
Athens
Sochi
Olympics.
Is falling apart.
Sochi's gone. Sochi was gone within a month.
Yeah. Beijing, I think, maybe utilize their facilities a bit more.
Beijing would utilize theirs for sure, yeah. Because it's in the middle of the largest city in the world.
Yeah.
So,
bits and pieces. London, I know that there was a lot of issues with, like, oh, yeah, we need a stadium. We'll just demolish all this social housing that we've been working on. Like, not good.
London will be better at reutilizing those, you'd think. But anyway. Well,
apparently not yet. I don't know if they
really
will be. I don't know the details specifically, but I've heard good and bad things. But it seems tough to put on events like, Olympics, Formula One races, things like that. And the not going to say the people personally are responsible about this in Brazil, but the social economic statuses of these people are the cause of this problem. It's a much larger issue than we put a racetrack here.
No,
it's
for sure.
Larger than that.
For sure. And that's, yeah, the wealth disparity is absolutely massive.
Yeah, you can see it literally from... there was shots from the stadium, like, oh, I'm sitting here watching the race. To the left, you can see nice houses. To the right, you can see favelas.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. It's nuts. And to think, you know, people are like, oh my God, you know, why would they be attacking F1 people? They're just, you know... people trying to do their job, rah, 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 rah. They don't give a shit.
That's not really what you should be taking out of this. I mean, yes, it sucks that innocent people are being attacked, but...
yeah, it does suck, but it also sucks
that... all we can
say
is luckily they're not hurt.
Juan had to rob you because he's going to starve to death.
Mm.
Like, again, there are much bigger socioeconomic issues at play here, and it's something I think F1 needs to play a much louder role in.
Yeah.
F1's always been very, very quiet when it comes to the social problems in the countries they visit.
Well, I think that's a lot of Bernie's history. You
know, yeah.
Bernie is like, money, 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 money.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Liberty Media can actually go, all right, we can actually take a stand. You know, I've never seen, from memory,
hopefully.
I don't remember anything like Formula One doing what they did with, just even in COTA, with the breast cancer awareness sort of, you know,
no,
lining the track.
No, they've
never
pink. Done that.
Little things like that, they make a big difference. So, you know, if Formula One want to constantly be like, hey, how good was Senna? What a legend, you know. That's Formula One, Formula One, Senna, Brazil.
Yeah.
They love that side of things. At the same time, you can maybe go, Brazil needs some help and we could help in some way, potentially.
Yeah.
Man, I saw this McLaren fan, like, lose his shit over the fact that his team's not getting a test and this is putting him at a disadvantage as a McLaren fan. It's like, fuck, dude, like, these are people's lives that you're putting in danger, and it's pretty insensitive for you to be, you know, blaming individual Brazilians for, like, oh, they've cost my McLaren a chance. It's like, that was a dumb fucking thing I saw. Anyway, made me a little annoyed.
Yeah.
You give me a look like how ridiculous that was.
It's the stupidest thing you could possibly say, isn't it?
That's probably
awful. Also, turn your phone on
silent. I'm sorry. That's
you
dipshit. Amateur move. Amateur move. It will not happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a story?
I do have a story. All right, so which one? Okay, this one. Fernando Alonso is going to be racing at Le Mans next year for Toyota. It is confirmed.
He's
signed
done. The piece of paper.
He has.
Okay, cool. Because I heard that he can pretty much fit in most of a WEC calendar with the Formula One season
next year. That's the thing. So... let me just see here. Le Mans is agreed, said a source close to Toyota. The rest of the season is still being negotiated, but it looks like he will do most of the races. So, yeah, Alonso contesting the World Endurance Championship next year at the same time as the entire F1 season. That will be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, Hartley has been doing at least since he started F1. He hasn't had a weekend off for 6 weeks. And he still won't, because this weekend when there's a week off, he's doing...
Bahrain. Yeah.
So, and he just did last week Shanghai. He's bouncing all around the world.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of WEC races you can do. Plus, he was doing Petit Le Mans and a couple of little ones as well.
Yeah.
I think there's only like one or two that he wouldn't be able to do, I guess, was what I read. There was only like two races that he was potentially going to need some time. I don't think the timing so much. Like, I don't think he's physically incapable of doing them week in, week out.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you're being taken a lot of time to actually do traveling. Like, it's not like...
that's the thing.
The WEC race is next door. It's across the world.
Yeah. They're all across the world. So, I don't know how he'll manage to fit it all into his kind of schedule, but if he can... go for it.
I'm surprised McLaren... I don't think McLaren would be happy about this, but I guess I'm not surprised they're letting him do it. They kind of owe him.
There's a quote from Eric Boullier here, which says, it's a case-by-case decision. His main and first focus is Formula One, so that has to be the priority. We can do everything we can to give him a competitive car, and if he has this, he will not race anything else. I don't think you can physically do two programs. It would be too complicated. Doing Le Mans or Indianapolis or Daytona, why not? It's a one-off. But more than this, it's definitely distraction from his main commitment. So I think this is more of a push from Alonso's side of things
in terms of
doing the full WEC calendar.
I'm sure McLaren liked the idea of him doing Le Mans. Like, that's a good little bit of PR and stuff. But the whole calendar, they're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be in the simulator occasionally. You need to actually do some shit for us. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think that he'll do the whole calendar, to be honest. Le Mans looks like it is a definite deal.
That's exciting.
Although the paper pen has not been put officially to paper.
Okay.
But it is pretty much certain. He's been to Cologne for a seat fitting, you know.
Mm.
He's been to the factory. He's done all
Daytona,
of it.
Daytona, yeah.
It's looking good. It's looking good. And yeah, Daytona's looking super, super good. That's 18th of January, I think. It's like the end of January race. So yeah, definitely want to watch that.
It's exciting.
Yes, indeed. Do you have a story?
I do. This is a little bit of, I guess it's a little late. We found this out just before Brazil. Was a meeting around next year's designs, just sort of finalizing all the details with all the teams. McLaren have really fucked it up for everyone, it seems, because they have decided they don't really like the idea of the shark fins as much as everyone else.
Yes.
Everyone else seemed to be decided, look, we're going to have one more year of shark fins at least. The FIA and not so much FIA, but Formula One want to make sure that we have our names and numbers much more prevalent. We've kind of already sold this sponsor space. Plus, we like the aerodynamic ability that it gives us. We're happy with it. And McLaren have now decided, actually, we don't want it to be the large size that we have at the moment. And if we do have it, we would only really accept it if it was a much more slimmed down version.
Interesting.
They've kind of, and a lot of other teams, especially Force India, they're probably the most vocally pissed off. Mm-hmm. They're saying, it's like, fuck, dude, we need to finish our car. Stop fucking, like, we need to know what we're doing. Yeah. Stop throwing in spanners into our works because we need to finalize our design so we can start putting shit together.
Yeah.
McLaren maybe have decided that this is more of a move to fuck others over than help themselves, potentially.
It's either that or they've, you know,
worked something
out. They've designed a car. Yeah. They've found a solution that requires, you know, a distinct lack of shark fin, and they're trying to push it through. So we'll see.
I think maybe we'll get somewhere in between. Have we already confirmed that those stupid T-wings are gone? We're not allowed those anymore? I hope so.
I'm pretty sure they're gone. Yeah.
So we're already seeing changes to the shark fin. Maybe we'll see Formula One say, all right, you're not allowed a shark fin more than this size, or this, it has to be this sort of clarification of shapes. So hopefully McLaren are happy and everyone else can just get on with it.
Yeah,
but it's interesting. They're the only ones that seem to not be really willing to just go ahead and sign off on next year's shark fin specs.
Funny. Yeah, it's funny that they're that kind of pushy about it. Like you'd think they would have had to have found something really specific.
Yeah, I think they've got something. They're like, you know what, this could work, and it's very different, or it's different enough that we could maybe fuck some other people over by them having to quickly work out what we've just done.
Yeah.
I think that could
be
something like that.
It could be a white elephant at the same time. It could just be them trying to distract everyone. It's like, oh, fuck, what is McLaren got? Why do they want the shark fin?
And then at the last minute they go, oh, no, ours is fine. All right, well, the normal shark fin, cool, whatever.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, shark fin sounds great.
Oh, shark fin. I thought you said something else. No, shark fin's fine. Yeah, my bad.
Right.
Well, 2 weeks you wasted. My bad. Oh, anyway.
I thought you said cark pin.
Oh, we don't have a cark pin. We don't want the cark pin.
Right. Yeah, we stopped using cark pins back in the 60s.
Yeah, the MP4 is the last cark pin.
Lol. Anyhow, next story is Lucas Auer is to be named the Force India's reserve driver.
Okay, this is a name I don't
you've
think
never
I
heard.
Know.
He is a
maybe I have
an Austrian, I believe, an Austrian DTM driver.
Oh, okay.
So he actually drives a car that's bright pink and sponsored by BWM.
Ah, that'll make sense.
That's the connection.
I was going to say he's not a Formula 2 up and comer or nothing like that.
No, okay. He's a DTM driver. He seems to be pretty damn good though. Like he is quite talented.
For DTM, man. Yeah.
In DTM, I'm honestly not sure who he drives for.
Okay.
Besides the fact that the team
not Mercedes, though,
is sponsored by BWM.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I think it's Audi.
Oh, okay. So he's not losing his seat next year, is what I'm saying, or he's not in line to lose his DTM seat due to a Mercedes pulling.
No, he'll have a race seat, right, and then also he's going to be doing the reserve seat. So Force India yesterday announced the test of George Russell, the new GP3 champions, getting a Force India test.
Mercedes.
It's
for Force India, but Mercedes are the reason they're doing
it. Correct. Yeah, George Russell is the Mercedes development driver, and they're giving him a test with Force India.
So FP1 in Abu Dhabi, I believe. I think he's doing FP1.
Yeah. No, we'll be lined up in free practice one. He apparently did it in Brazil,
We did not see that.
I did not see that. And he will be driving FP1 in Abu Dhabi as well.
I actually watched a little bit of FP1. I obviously just didn't fucking notice. Yeah. It was pretty quiet, obviously.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I did not notice that. My bad. Anyway, next story?
Yeah, go for it.
Mercedes have won something else. The least significant of the championships. You're looking at me like you don't even know what it is.
I'm thinking pit stops.
It is. It is the DHL pit stop, fastest pit stop award.
Oh, right.
So DHL sponsored the fastest pit stop because they're notoriously very quick for deliveries, apparently. Mm. Mercedes have now officially outscored Williams, and Williams cannot come back next week. It's a similar sort of thing to the rest of the championships. Each team gets a certain amount of points throughout the year, depending on how fast each of their drivers' pit stops were. So it's basically points scored the same way as their constructors drivers. And drivers. Yep. Mercedes, 465 points to Williams, 414.
Right.
I'll just quickly go through to give you an idea of how fast the other guys are. Red Bull are third at the moment. They're pretty much secured in third. Ferrari, Force India, Toro Rosso and Haas. Haas, Force India and Toro Rosso could probably shuffle around a bit here. Then you got McLaren and then Renault and Sauber. Sauber only has 1 point and Renault only has 8. So their pit stops, notoriously not that quick.
Yeah.
We're talking minuscule differences, really. Yeah. Each race, you know, Mercedes might beat Williams by 0.01 or 2, but it's enough
so
to get these
slow.
Points.
So
I know.
Their pit stop took 2.8 seconds as opposed to 2.4.
Look, I don't think this is so much news that Mercedes are really quick with pit stops. They've always been pretty quick. I think it's more news that Williams didn't win it.
Yeah, I know. That surprised
the news.
Me, man. It really did.
Because they win it every year.
They do.
Year after year, Williams have been known to have the fastest pit crew. I think Rexona sponsored them with this whole big promo, like, the fastest pit crew in the world drives faster than our, you know, fucking deodorant or
something.
Some shit.
Something,
like,
yeah.
It's a big push for Williams. They're known for this. And they don't have it for next year. They don't have that. They can no longer call themselves the world's fastest pit crew, at least until they win it back next year.
Yeah.
What do they have left?
Not much.
Maybe Kubica.
Maybe Robert Kubica. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But otherwise, I thought it was interesting that Williams have just lost out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's kind of disappointing.
It is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have anything. Mercedes fucking took everything this year. It sucks.
It's the Germans came through. They took everything. All right. So, Pirelli has just confirmed on Sky Italia, actually, that they are going to be, how do I say this? They're going to be bringing a new tire compound to the light for next year. So
wait. Remember a few weeks ago, maybe like 2 months ago now, they were talking about making a harder compound.
Yeah.
And then they realized, do you know how many racing laps they've done on the hard tire this year? Take a wild guess.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
They've used it zero times.
Yep.
I don't even think they've ever used it in
practice.
Maybe a practice session once.
I think they did once at the start of the year and they realized, my God, yabba dabba doo, these wheels are hard. And then
so
they did not use them
again.
They
didn't use them, but then they decided maybe we should make another harder tire. And then quickly someone realized that was dumb. So they've made an even softer, possible tire.
They realized that coming in for a set of super hards was not the best.
Yeah, Force India said, I don't think we can say super hard on the radio. Yeah. So instead of doing what everyone thinks they should do, which is basically just shift all the names up one.
Yeah.
And make the current medium hard. And then just dump the hardest one now because it's fucking useless anyway.
Yeah.
And then just call this new very soft one, which will be pink apparently, just super soft or ultra soft
ultra
rather.
Ultra soft, yeah.
They're now making a little, what are the three options?
There was, I think there was Ubersoft, Megasoft, and there was, what was the other one?
Ubersoft, Megasoft.
And like, Ultra Gargantuan.
Oh, it was Ultra Super Soft.
Are you serious
right
now?
So that's what the three options, they took it to like a poll on Twitter. Not a real poll, like a, please tweet at us if you'd like to know. Like, they didn't actually use the poll feature because we don't know what is winning. Unfortunately, because they only gave us A, B, and C options, we cannot hijack it and call it Softy McSoft Soft.
Yeah.
Softy McSoft Face or
Softy
other.
Softy McSoft Face.
If you don't live in Australia, officially as of today, our ferry company, they actually announced that they will be listening to the voters and will be having a new ferry floating around Sydney Harbour called Ferry McFerry Face. They approved it. It's official. So it does happen. This has become a meme. Bodie McBoatface and Trainee McTrainface and all this shit. Unfortunately, Pirelli, I think someone was like, we cannot let them have this vote. This cannot be an open vote or we will have Softy McSoftface. So I reckon they'll probably go Megasoft.
Probably.
I don't think Ubisoft. Absurd. Ubisoft won't work. I think it'll probably be Megasoft, and unfortunately, commentators will be talking about it because this will be used. This will be a used compound.
Yes.
For qualifying, at least.
I just think they should. Yeah, as you said, the heart of this year needs to be thrown out, yep. And the medium of
shift
this year. Exactly.
Simple.
Simples.
I already think it's convoluted to say soft, super soft, and ultra soft.
Mm.
To add another one is just fucking stupid.
Yeah, no. To add another one is borderline ridiculous.
I know people that get confused as to which ones. Like, I think I just did it a moment ago. Like, and then of course the soft is being super soft. Oh, sorry, ultra soft. Now I have to do super soft. I mean mega soft. I mean ultra. No, mega soft. It's going to be ridiculous. We're never going to be understanding who's on what tire. I like the new color. It'll look good on the Force Indias.
Pink.
It'll look good on the Force Indias.
Sure, I guess that's a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They need to rethink this because it's getting a bit ridiculous.
Mm.
8 different tire compounds, really?
And not all being used. I mean, do you know all this will do is make sure the medium is never used.
Yeah.
I don't even think, has the medium had any race?
The medium's had a very, very small amount of race time. And the hard has literally never, ever, ever been used.
Yeah, they've pretty much stopped bringing it. Even the races that said it was a mandatory. Oh, so not even a mandatory, a suggested, gone.
Yeah, no. They literally just turned back on it and said, we're not bringing it. Sorry, we can't do it. But they are not. What am I trying to say here? I don't even fucking know.
What, they're not changing the existing compounds at all? They're just adding it, you mean? Like, they're not changing what a super soft is in terms of its softness?
Yeah, no, they're definitely not, and I really think they should.
Mm.
But also, I think they need to come up with more difference between the tires, and I've said this multiple times. Make the softer tire softer, and make the harder tire hard, but actually, you know, adhering to
the track.
You know
what they should do? They should just basically get... They've got 8 now. Even if you add this mega one, sure. Get all 8 and then get rid of every second one.
Mm.
That's all you need to do. And then get it down to 4. Because we used to have option and prime. Get it down to 4. Actually, did I just include in those 8?
No, but see, option prime was... They still had like 6 compounds and they would choose every weekend. They would select option.
They would never tell us what they were. You know what I mean? It was like option prime. It wasn't like...
That's true.
Today's option is an ultra mega soft... You know,
well, I mean, look, depends on how much of a fan you were. If you cared enough, you could find out.
Yeah.
That being said, there were only 2 to choose from on race weekend. There weren't 3 like we have right now. Mm. And yeah, I think they just need to come up with a tire that ticks all the bloody boxes, that grips the track, that has decent degradation. And decent degradation meaning tires that do degrade, but not too fast. I know it sounds like a difficult job, but it's your fucking job, so do it.
It's your only job.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll still have inters, we'll still have wets. Those haven't... That would be kind of interesting. New wet tires.
Oh, man, I think they do a new wet tire every year in terms of the compounded stuff.
I guess so. I don't know, like an ultra wet.
And then
we never have a red flag due to weather. Like, seriously, an ultra wet, and it's basically just, its job is to spray water sideways, like just 100%.
Slick wet.
Yes, and then we have slick, I don't know. You know what? We'll go the other way. We'll have 14 tire compounds. Let's go. Next story.
Cool. So, let me have a look here. It's going nuclear, really. Actually, no, I've already said this one. Sorry. How about this one? Robert Kubica is set to test the 2017 Williams F1 car in Abu Dhabi. That bit is confirmed.
Yes, we've touched on that, but it is confirmed that he will be 100% driving after Abu Dhabi.
After Abu Dhabi, at the postseason test, 100% he will be driving on the first day. They've said what day he'll be driving on. Right. They've said everything. He will 100% be testing in Abu Dhabi, and I think that... In my head, is kind of his ultimate test, his true test. But again, if Massa's truly gone, then hey, we'll see Kubica in Abu Dhabi, and that will be super freaking cool.
If that happens, when do we find out?
If it happens, we'll find out probably in the next week or so.
Next couple of days.
Yeah.
You know what? Knowing our recording schedule, we'll find out as soon as we get out of the studio and right before I post.
Probably, yes.
So if this could be all irrelevant to you if you're listening and you already know something. hopefully that happens, I guess. We'd be very excited, and we'll talk about it next week. But, you know, otherwise,
maybe
we'll keep
we
you
can
updated.
Edit the podcast so, like, you know, in the middle of the sentence, we can just cut in with Robert Kubica is Williams driver for 2018.
Okay. Raj, that one does not count. I'm not counting that one. After this show, I will record a little segment for you.
Yes.
And if it happens between our recording and my editing,
yeah,
I'll throw it in. We'll record it after the show.
Okay.
And I'll
cool.
throw it in and just be like, beep, 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 right in the middle, and just artificially throw it in, and then we'll just keep talking afterwards.
Nice.
It'll be seamless. You'll never know.
Yeah, seamless as in you need to change, like, just change the compression of the sound, everything, so it sounds entirely different.
Okay, if you're hearing a news noise right now, it means it didn't happen. So, last story that I have here, Raj. Niki Lauda, we talked about him last week, hottest driver 2017. He has said that he is seriously worried about F1's future under Liberty Media. He says, I'm worried. It was right that the American owners needed time to understand F1, but that time is about to expire. The FIA, Chase Carey, Ross Brawn repeat that we need to level out the performance, but the DNA of this Formula One sport is the complete opposite. He's not very happy with the idea that developing the cars is, I guess, going away. He's also not happy about the bravery of the drivers being put in question. So, Halo decisions, the commercial rights discussions they're going to be having, as well as the engine that they're going to be talking about for 2021.
Sure.
Very old school. I think it's just a matter that, you know, he likes it old school.
Yeah,
I don't think he has the best interest of F1 at heart, potentially, when he says some things like this. I don't know.
Look, I think he has, from his perspective, he has the best interest of F1 in heart. Whether or not his interests align with anybody else's, on the other hand, is something completely different. But, yeah, I don't really think his opinions mean shit anymore.
Mm.
He's an old man. Like, I'm sorry, things are newer now. And he's talking about, oh, I'm angry about the Halo. Look what they've done. It's like, the Halo was decided on 6 years ago, five years ago, they first started coming out.
This wasn't just Liberty's decision out of the blue. Yeah,
Liberty had nothing to do with the bloody Halo. So the stuff he's saying is bullshit. Really, it's the problem Mercedes has is with the engine regulations that they're suggesting. And fine, I get that. But in terms of everything else Liberty is suggesting, I like it. I like it all.
Yeah, I've been a big fan. As you know, we both have discussed how much we like a lot of the changes they're making.
Mm.
He says some funny things like, you know, we will find a satisfactory compromise when it comes to cheaper engines. But the heart of the problem is more than that. In the face of this cost growth, it's $70 million from 1 year to the next, but revenue is going down. So costs are going up, revenue is going down. He doesn't think they need to be cheaper. He needs to say they need to level out. But he actually thinks more than that, they need more revenue.
Yeah.
Fucking print some money, obviously, is the solution. Thanks,
Lauda. Of course.
He says something weird. He goes, I heard from Sean Bratches, who would like to see the drivers accompanied with grid kids. It's imitating football having these ideas. Like, he needs I don't really understand why that's a quote from him. He's like, he thinks it's just imitating ideas rather than having our own unique ones as a sport, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
We need a greater master plan. For example, the budget cap, it is logical and correct, but there needs to be a 3-year plan to realize that these things should not just be implemented out of the blue.
Mm.
We have employees. What do we do with them? We just cast them off onto the side of the road. This reads very much like a Niki Lauda commentary, actually. Mm. He's got a way about him.
Mm.
For now, Liberty only announced that they want to introduce it, but they have not explained how they would intend to realize it. It's funny that this sounds like what Ferrari would say.
Mm.
Again, being very old school.
I
don't know. Lauda, be quieter.
Yeah, I think Lauda should just shut the hell up, really. But at the end of the day,
so
he's
mean to
defending.
Him 2 weeks in a row.
We have kind of, but whatever. He's been a dipshit 2 weeks in a row. So
he didn't do anything last week. We just made fun of him. I did.
Okay, no, you just ripped into him last week. Yeah. But he does. He does talk very, very loudly about things that he really is not involved with at all. Mm. And sure, I think when he's talking about the engine regs and that they're not in line with Mercedes, this, that, and the other, you're right.
Like, yeah, sure.
In terms of that, you are absolutely right. Mercedes is not going to be happy with the engine regs the way they are. That being said, he seems to just be blanket panning everything Liberty. Oh, Liberty, you're doing this the grid girl thing, what he wanted to become, like football.
Mm.
It's like, I'm sorry, there's been half-naked women.
No, grid kid. They've already got grid girls. They want right. Like, you know how the football players walk out on the field with
holding a kid's
junior,
hand.
Yes. Junior sports teams or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It seems
It might be copying an idea, but who really gives a shit? Does it take anything away from Formula One? No, it is an unbelievably minor thing. Yeah. Why the hell is he even bringing it up?
I think it was more of an example of, like, we need to be looking at our own ideas rather than copying others. I don't think he had any other examples, so that's all he could really grab at the
moment. I think
what
he was saying was, look at these silly reactionary ideas that the new owners of F1 are putting out there. Yeah. We need to be making a 3-year plan. It's like, I'm sorry, they're planning as well.
Yeah.
They just decided to change a couple of things at the same time. So I think it's just old man Lauda being old man Lauda, just complaining loudly.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many fans out there except maybe the Halo decision who are very upset.
Oh, the Halo, fucking everyone hates a Halo.
Yeah, no one's happy with the Halo, but yeah, as you said, it's unfair to just go fucking Liberty, stupid Halo. Mm. It's much bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's FIA, really, so...
Yeah. No, in fact, it'd be like blaming Liberty for it is really dumb and not, you're not even blaming the right people. So
yeah, it's a little misdirected.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got to wrap up. This has been Back Michael Podcast. We are on all the places you find your podcasts. If you don't mind, we would love a review on iTunes. I've realized now from our analytics, it actually helps dramatically. Like it is, we do this show for free. This is just literally just a bit of our time and we really like doing it. But we want more people to hear it. So if you do have even just 5 seconds, we would really love a 5-star review on iTunes if you do enjoy it. It's all we ask. We try not to do any ads or, you know, we don't want to bother you too much. It's the only time I will plead. If you just have a moment, we'd really appreciate it. Otherwise, like us on Facebook and Twitter. We have more content, Formula One related stuff, and you can keep up with us there as well as backmarketpodcast.com.
Indeed. Backmarker Podcast brought to you by... I'm just joking.
But now we are for the ads. No, we will keep this ad free. This is a labor of love, but we want more people to hear it. And apparently that's the best way to do it is to have iTunes like you back. So
alrighty.
That's the thing. Anyway, Raj, I will see you next week. We will be talking about the lead up to Abu Dhabi, the final race of the year.
We will.
See you next week.
See you next week.